Hey there, good morning, Harbor of Hope. It's good to see all of you. Thanks for joining us at our worship service this morning. And let's jump in. So, are you a person that can remember your dreams? I don't really remember much of my dreams. I'm the person who kind of feels a little bit like I dreamt something. Well, experts say that we all dream. So I'm assuming that I'm having them most of the time. I just can't remember them. Now, my wife, Julie, on the other hand, she can remember her dreams. And they're always really weird. By the way, I realized that I've never shown you guys a pic of my family. That was not intentional. So here's a real quick pic of my family as you guys are getting to know me. We've got three great kids and one other kid. I told my wife that joke this morning. She was like, you can't say that joke about your own kids. But just to let you know, they're all sitting just beyond my camera. So that was for them, just to keep them interested and on their toes. So anyway, it's my daughter, Alex, my son, Trey, my daughter, Jonah, and then my youngest daughter, Andy. So pretty great family. So my wife, Julie, back to the story here, always tells me about her dreams that she has. She dreams a lot about her friends and her family. And a frequent setting for her is her church growing up. That's where just a lot of her dreams take place. And a lot of times, though, it's about almost random stuff, like she's grocery shopping with Queen Elizabeth and Oprah Winfrey. I mean, really, really random stuff. God has a history of speaking to people in dreams, so I wish I could remember more of my dreams. In fact, I have friends that felt like they were supposed to do something as a result of a vision or a dream that God gave them. So as we wrap up our series today called I Love Our Church, we're going to read about a dream from the prophet Ezekiel. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 1. And here's what it says. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Now, I'll summarize a couple of verses here. The detail begins that as they walked along this water that was flowing from the temple, the water kept getting deeper and deeper as they were walking alongside of it. So much so that it started ankle deep, but then it became so deep that you had to swim to the other side. And so this person who was with Ezekiel says, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the waters of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En Gedi to En Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. In other words, will still have salt. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds, though, will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves will be from healing." All right, so it's kind of a weird dream, isn't it? I mean, I think so. It's not shopping with Queen Elizabeth and Oprah Winfrey weird, but it is weird, okay? And I want to point out some images, I think, that take place in this dream that are very, very important as we talk about this topic this morning. The first image is that of water. There's a huge connection between water and life. I think we're made up of over 80% water, even in our own bodies. In Ezekiel's dream, the water is flowing from out of the second image. So the first was water. The next image is the temple. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to us, but in those days, everything was thought of as going towards the temple. You went to temple to make sacrifices. On religious holidays, the whole nation would flow towards the temple, but not in Ezekiel's dream. Instead of the water flowing towards the temple, the water is flowing away from it. And where was this river flowing to? Well, it's our third image. It's this idea of the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea for a reason. It's because its waters are so salty that virtually nothing can survive it. It's 8 times saltier than the ocean. Anyone's mom ever make you gargle salt water as like a home remedy when you had a sore throat? Gargling salt water is the worst. It triggers my gag reflex and I just can't handle it. But the Dead Sea is way saltier than that, way saltier than the ocean. The water is so salty that only a few bacteria have been known to survive in it. So the last image is life. This water that is flowing from the temple to the Dead Sea is getting deeper and deeper, ankle deep, to begin to form this mighty river that flows from the deadest of dead places. And then those dead places start showing signs of life. So much so that the whole Dead Sea turns into a body of fresh, life-giving water. Lots of fruit trees on all sides. And then the leaves on those trees have healing powers. Now, this would have been a powerful vision, an alternate reality to what people would have known the desert and the Dead Sea for. But this dream actually matches how God describes the world and the very beginning, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 10, when God was creating what we know as Eden, there was a river that was watering that garden. But it also matches how it's going to be in the very end too. So this is from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse." So just like in the beginning, at the end of time, there will be a river that flows and brings life to all. It's the same imagery, a tree that its fruit is always in season, so no one goes hungry, and whose leaves bring healing to all people. Now, here's the thing. Ezekiel's dream is really God's dream. It shows up in this prophetic book in the Old Testament, yes, but it shows up in other places throughout Scripture as well. It's not just Ezekiel's dream, it's God's dream. From the very beginning of the Bible all the way until the end, we have a God who dreams of this river of life that flows from his presence and brings healing and life into the dead places of our world. So this week, as we're wrapping up our series called I Love Our Church, remember that we've said over and over again, the reason that we've chosen this title is because we want to be a church that people can get excited about again. And first, as we talked about that first week, it starts with our mission. The mission that God sent Jesus on now becomes our mission. Second, being changed by that mission of Jesus, it's not just something that we hoard and keep to ourselves. We have to be those have it and share it types like we talked about last week. And this week, as we're wrapping up our series with I Love Our World, it's not just simply an emotion. We ask the question, how is it possible for me? How is it possible for you to love the world? It's hard enough for me to love my neighbors, right? And sometimes it's hard enough for me to love the people in my own community or maybe even in my own country. Well, I think it goes back to this dream of Ezekiel in this river of life. In Jesus' day, there was a celebration called the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was a celebration of the time during the Exodus story, where Israel was wandering in the desert, learning to depend on God for daily needs like water. It was a very difficult chapter, and they celebrated God taking them through this chapter. And so people from all over the world would come to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And every year, they would read the passage that we just read from Ezekiel 47. And standing in that very spot, one day, Jesus was teaching, and he says this incredibly audacious thing, this metaphor that was not very difficult for anyone to translate. He says this in John chapter 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." You hear what he's saying? Jesus is claiming that imagery for himself. He's saying that when we follow him, that that river from Ezekiel 47 will flow into us and through us and bring life to deadness. We all know what deadness means, right? It might be a relational deadness in our lives. It might be an emotional deadness that we're experiencing right now, a financial deadness. And of course, there is the spiritual deadness that we all experience. And this river of life not only flows in me, but also through me into my community, into my world. And that river of life that is flowing through us is love, not my love, but God's love through me and through you. I Love Our World is about how God's love moves through us into our world. And no matter how bad things look in our world today, it can be healed by God's love changing it. So when it comes to loving our world, there are two things that I just want us to concentrate on here for a few seconds. Two things that I want us to do. The first is I want us to love locally. We have an opportunity to make the neighborhoods and our cities and our world that we live in better. Did you know that we took 20 backpacks to the International Institute of New England here recently? There was an opportunity to help this organization, and our church came together to provide for that need. Abby, our Kids Harbor leader, was telling me a couple of weeks ago that she had received a thank you letter and how we had helped them with those backpacks, which it might not feel like much, but that's God's healing love flowing through us. And that's just one way. We also work with organizations like Table of Plenty, a local nonprofit that provides meals right in Chelmsford. We do Love Lowell events throughout the year, not to mention our care team responds to prayer and benevolence needs each and every week. And I know many of you also do the same, right from where you're at, most of the time without any sort of recognition. Every day, God brings us into contact with people that are in need of this life the scriptures talk about. And so to love locally, it means that Harbor of Hope is a place where living water flows from us. But also it's important not just to love locally, but to dream globally. Even though you take action right where you are, don't ever forget that God wants the whole world to experience this love. It's why we partner with Food for the Hungry, send trips to El Mirador in the Dominican Republic. We help other churches get started. We want to make sure that God's love is flowing not just to us, but through us. And so I Love Our World is about how love moves through us into our world. I want to tell you about something special that we've got planned for Christmas. And it touches both of these sort of elements of love locally and dream globally. Our Christmas series is called God With Us. Tentatively right now, it's called God With Us. And we're going to celebrate our Christmas series in line with something that's called Advent Conspiracy. Now, Advent Conspiracy is a movement, it's an emphasis during Christmas and the holidays to get back to the real and true meaning of Christmas. It started with four pastors who saw all of the shopping and the busyness, and they began to ask, what would it mean for us and our churches to celebrate Christmas in a way that really does honor Jesus? And so we want you to begin asking yourself that question. We want our community to begin asking ourselves that question. And so Advent Conspiracy was born. Here's the Here's a quick video. If you're not familiar with it, let's watch it together. All right. Isn't that cool? So we already do Christmas at Harbor in a very others-focused way. So we're just going to try to take that up a notch. We already do an event, as you heard Brian mention, called The Magic of Christmas, where we sign up to give gifts to others who would otherwise have very little or nothing at Christmas. Megan Hughes and Colleen McGrath are working hard to kind of get us prepared for that, especially during the time of COVID and the changes that we need to make. But if you're looking for more information about that, again, all that much of that information is on our homepage, our website. There's a banner there that you can click on. We're going to be sending out email updates as well, but we're excited about that. We also do a special offering during December and give that away. And the plan is to do that, I think, on December 13th this year. We'll have some local ministry partners represented, like Place of Promise, who want to expand their outreach to students. And some global ministry partners like Food for the Hungry and El Mirador in the Dominican Republic. So we're going to tell you more about that over the coming weeks, and especially concentrate even on those tenets of what it means to worship more and spend less and give more and love all. We want to be a church that with every part of our being, we know how to love locally and we know how to dream globally. All right. So one real quick thing that we want to do before we wrap up today, we've been taking questions throughout this series from our community. And so here's a question that we've been getting quite a bit. Okay. And that's, how are the finances at Harbor? Well, let's talk about our current reality. So this past summer, we've seen giving drop about $5,500 a month from the previous 3 months, and about $14,000 a month since this same time last year. So a decrease that's pretty drastic. The overall number of givers has dropped by about 20% over the past quarter or so. Our shortfalls have depleted our bank balance. We would not have been able to even make payroll had we not had the PPP loan from April to June. And what I want to say is there are certainly going to be challenges when a church sees the kind of decreases in people and giving the way that Harbor of Hope has. But let's also talk about the positives for a second. Let's talk about what we can celebrate. Just in the last couple of months, we've seen our giving stabilize. We've also seen our expenses decrease significantly. I know that this has been a hard year, especially in our staffing transitions, but that does make us lean on the staffing side right now. Our overall expenses in October were about $1,100 more than our giving income, but we also have the bank balance now to cover that. Even though that's not a good long-term strategy, we can cover that right now. November is off to a good start. And I think if our giving holds steady and if our because our expenses are significantly less, we are hopeful that we are going to be back in the black this month. And so here are some of the things that we have done and are doing. Again, just as an effort to be everybody on the same page, our elders, treasurer, and our finance team have worked really hard to assess the new reality and to begin to make adjustments. There aren't many expenses left to be cut. We believe that the next step is trying to figure out how we can get our facility costs down, potentially renegotiating some of our lease. We're also coming up with a staffing plan, what it will look like for us to have a paid staff in the future. Obviously a lead pastor, but I'm also convinced that we'll be able to have some support staff around him or her, but it is going to be adjusted. Again, it's our goal to act our size and our budget as a church and make sure that our expenses don't outpace our income. So, what can you do? Well, the first thing is I want to ask that we all pray. I think that we should all begin with prayer on this one. We've already seen God take care of us this far, and I don't want us to miss any of the hard lessons that might come with this tough season. But also, I also think that there is another exciting season ahead of us too. And we want to be ready for that. I also want to say to those of you who are giving and who have given faithfully, thank you for your partnership. I don't get to see the specifics about giving, what individuals do, anything like that. But it appears to me that most are giving and giving very generously. If that's not you, maybe you're not giving yet because you're new, or maybe you've disengaged for some reason, or maybe you just forgot to set it up. I don't know. But here's what I can say. I can't think of a better time to jump in and make your impact with your generosity here at Harbor. Again, I would just ask that you pray about it if there are changes that need to be made for you. Because we're praying as a church for people who want to partner with us in this ministry. People who want to love their mission, love their church, and who want to love their world well. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So again, if you have any questions about giving and where things are at, again, I'm encouraged. I know we still have some things to do to get us back to a place of health, but I'm encouraged. If you have any questions, you can reach out to myself and we will point you to the folks who can answer your questions, okay? All right, so we need to wrap up this talk. I'll tell you real quickly, I spoke with one couple at Harbor this week, and one of the things that they had an interest in doing was reaching their neighbors. And we shared ideas and kind of talked, and then we prayed about it. What an incredibly important thing to do. And it's oftentimes a thing that we forget to do. Karl Barth, one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century, said this about prayer. He said, to clasp hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. Harbor of Hope, I pray that we can be a community that prays for our neighbors, community, and world. But more than that, that we can come together, clasp our hands, and rise up against the disorder of the world. Can we pray that God's love and his healing will flow through us and through to us and through us to bring life to those dead places in our world that we see? And can you imagine the impact if we just began to do that? I know I can. I think that's part of what makes us a church worth loving and being a part of. So I'm going to pray for us here in just a second, but you may want to grab your communion supplies because Jared is not only going to lead us in a time of worship, he's going to lead us in our communion moment. And you can take communion whenever you're ready as Jared begins to sing. Let me pray for us, and then we'll head back into communion and worship together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for today, for the opportunity to wrap up our series and to talk about what it means for us to love locally, to dream globally, to bring life to places that are often characterized more by deadness than anything else. I pray, God, that you continue to ingrain this mission within every single one of us. God, we know that you love and care for Harbor more than any of us ever could. And so though we are in a difficult season, we also have hope about the future. Thank you for taking care of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.